Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, May the 26th, 2019.
Well, good morning. We're going to go ahead and begin with our welcome and some announcements this morning. And so I know folks are still coming in and getting settled, but we would like to welcome you to our service this morning here at Grace. My name is David. I am the youth pastor here at Grace, and we are glad that you have joined with us this morning for our worship service. You hopefully received a bulletin on your way in. If you did not, there are some ushers right at the doors who could probably help you to get one of those. But in your bulletin, you will find some announcements of what we're about as a ministry and what's going on this week and in weeks to come. And so that would help you to stay informed about who we are and about some things that are coming up. There's also some inserts in the bulletin, one of which is an info card. And so especially if you are visiting here with us today, we would like for you to take that info card and to fill out your name and family information and contact information. And then that way we can have a record of your visit and we can get to know you a little bit better that way and could answer any questions that you may have about our ministry. But then also for our members, that is a way for you to share prayer requests with us or to keep us updated on what's going on in your life. And then that way, as the staff meets throughout the week, we know better how to pray for you. And then there are also some plug-in needs, some areas where we could really use some members to serve alongside us in various ways. And so that you filling out that plug-in sheet will tell us that you're interested in serving in that way. So pay attention to those announcements. We have some further announcements coming up now in our Grace on the Go video. And as that video plays, I would like to invite our 2019 graduates to go ahead and join me up front, if you will, please.
Good morning. I'm Aaron Swan, and I'd like to welcome you to church this morning and bring you some announcements in this week's Grace on the Go. Today is the first day of Children's Summer Choir. Preschoolers will stay in the Sunday School room, and kids in kindergarten through fifth grade will be dismissed from the service to the Lighthouse room. This year's musical has a superhero theme, and we'll have kids learning about the fruit of the Spirit. We hope you all save the day for their end of summer performance on August 11th. Don't forget that we won't have any evening activities tonight due to it being Memorial Day weekend, but plan to join us next Sunday night. We'll kick off the first night of VBS, and anyone not directly involved in our Bible school is invited to join us for a special prayer time to ask for God's blessing on VBS. We still need folks to help out with games, so check out your plug-in sheet to volunteer. We're planning another trip to the Dominican Republic this September to help out our missionaries, Gary and Allie Hale. We're looking for teams of men, women, and couples to complete some work projects around two of their churches. A $100 deposit is due June 5th, so sign up today at the Connection Center. Our youth ministry is planning a mission trip to Alaska June 16th to the 23rd. If you'd like to support them, stop by the family section of the Info Center and take part in their envelope fundraiser. If all 100 envelopes are taken and returned with their designated dollar amounts, we'll have raised $5,050 for our summer mission trip. We hope you'll pick up an envelope today. That's it for this week's Grace on the Go. See you next week when we'll have an update on the pastoral search process.
Thank you, Aaron. Go ahead and join me on stage here, if you will. We would like to take just a moment to recognize those who have graduated, both high school and college graduates. I'll mention a couple who were not able to join us today. Toni Marie Hernandez is out of town. She graduated from Grace Academy. Deanna Winook is actually serving back in our children's area this morning. She graduated from Central High School. I'll pass these out to the ones who are on stage here. Maddie Crosby graduated from East Hamilton. Lily Kaufman, also from East Hamilton. Ryan Merritt from Grace Academy. Gabe Swartness from East Ridge High School. And Katie Welsh from Hildreth Academy. And then we have a few college graduates that we would like to recognize as well. I'll mention again just a couple that weren't able to be here with us today. Denise Winook from Lee University, a bachelor's degree. And then Jonathan Lawrence got an associate's degree in culinary arts from the Culinary Institute of America. And then the few who are here with us today, Rachel Carter, bachelor's degree from Lee University. Megan Pollock, a bachelor's degree from Clark Summit University. And then this is actually a postgraduate degree, but Bethany Cowart earned her Doctor of Physical Therapy from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. And we would like to open in prayer, and I'll let them remain up here while we do that. Our Father in heaven, your name is great and holy. You are worthy to receive praise from us. You are worthy of the praise of all peoples and nations and languages on the earth because you have created us and we owe our allegiance to you. We confess, Lord, that we have turned aside from you. We've gone our own way. Our sins have separated us from you and we deserve your wrath, but in your great mercy you have offered redemption and reconciliation to us by sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We thank you for his perfect life, for his sacrificial death, and for his bodily resurrection. Thank you that those things provide us access to God and salvation from our sins. And so we do give you our allegiance, not out of obligation, but out of repentance and faith and gratitude. We pray that this service is a reflection of these truths from your word, and that it would be a renewed commitment to you and to your ways. We pray that you'll give your word success today as it is preached here, but also as it is proclaimed around our city and our nation and and the entire globe. Lord, we pray for these graduates, and as they transition into new phases of life, we pray that they will seek you all the days of their lives. We pray that you will hold them fast. We pray that they will be fruitful in evangelism and in disciple making, and that they will always be obedient to you. We pray that this would be true of each of us here today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David. Thank you, graduates. Have a few other words of instruction this morning before we begin. We've had quite a bit of things happening with our technology, video, and so forth. You have the screens there. The choir does not have a screen, so if you see them looking around for words, that's the deal with that this morning. We just figured it out about 3 minutes before the service started. Also, in your bulletin, and I need all the kids and parents of children to listen closely. We're starting summer choirs today, and we're excited about that. But in your bulletin, it has that you're dismissed right at the normal time, right after the congregational singing. We need to push that back down to when I let choir and orchestra come down, because a number of these folks are the leaders of those groups and helpers, so we need them back there for the kids, okay? So when you won't see it on the video this morning, but it is in your bulletin that way, so just stay in until I release you, okay? So
It is a joy to be a part of leading you in worship this morning. So we're going to start by singing, How Can I Keep From Singing Your Name? We sang it a few months ago, but Gary's going to be sharing with us in a few minutes, and hopefully the music will encourage you and push you toward Ecclesiastes chapter 3, as you're going to hear in a few minutes. Would you stand with me? How can I keep from singing? Sing with us.
There is an endless song echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring, and though the storms may come, I am holding on to the rock I lean. How can I keep from singing your
Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear.
God. Lord, thank you that you are above all. You know all. You know every circumstance, and you guide it, and we're thankful. Whatever that season is, may our perspective be what is ahead of us for eternity. So we're thankful for eternal life that we can have through you, through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again and lives with you now. So thank you, Lord, for that. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would to come, and we'll take our morning offering. Before I pray, I'd like to introduce the video that is going to follow. This year in Awana, the kids have earned points through memorizing scripture, serving others, and various other things that they've done. And through their sponsors, $557 has been given to the Awana Missions Project to assist the Pimentel family in their ministry there in the Dominican Republic. So immediately following prayer, we're going to see a video from Yancy and Diana regarding that. So let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for your love. We're grateful for your provision. And as we give back and really just hear some of the things that you're doing around the world through our missions giving and faith promise, and we just thank you for that, and we praise your name for what you're going to do in the future. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Hola, we are the Pimentels. I'm Jency.
And I'm Diana.
Some of you might recognize us. We have visited your church before.
And I actually grew up at Grace, and I went through the whole Awana program there. We're so excited to hear that you guys have been praying for us and you raised money to help in our ministry.
We want to say thank you and show you a little bit of our church and how God is going to use the money that you raised for us to help in our ministry. Here's a picture of our family. We have two boys. Jeremy is 4 and Liam is 2.
And we are missionaries in the Dominican Republic. It's that orange part of the island right there.
This is our church, Iglesia Gracia Abundante.
In English, you would call it Abundant Grace Church.
We drive to church every Sunday, just like you do.
Except maybe you all don't see cows in the middle of the road on your way to church. I don't know.
Our church is not as big as yours. It is pretty new.
We actually just celebrated our 2-year anniversary as a church. It's been cool to see how God has been at work in the hearts of the people there.
In our 2 years here, we have seen many new people get saved, broken hearts, families restored, and people growing in their relationship with God as they learn more and more from the Bible.
We also have kids in our church, just like you. We don't have Awana here, but we do have a kids program on Sundays. Our church building is pretty small, so kids of all ages are all in the same room. We split up between 2 different tables, and sometimes it can get a little bit noisy, but we are grateful to have a place to meet and to learn about God. As you all probably know, the roof of the kids' area is in pretty bad shape. Termites have been eating the wood that holds up the tin roof, and when it rains, we get really wet. Getting the roof fixed will help us to be able to focus on what we're learning from the Bible instead of just the rain. We are so thankful for Grace Baptist Church and the way you all have not only prayed for us, but also helped us with the things that we need. When Pastor Mike and Mr. John and Mr. Ken came down, they helped us a lot. They even worked with us to paint the whole church building. Between the help that they brought us and now the special offering that you kids have earned this year, we will be able to fix the roof and even get some equipment we need for the sound booth.
It's been so much to us that you worked so hard to raise this money. The people in our church feel so encouraged that even you live so far away from us. You want to help our ministry and are letting God to use you to help us with the things that we need here.
Our heart is to reach our city with the good news that Christ died for our sins, so we don't have to earn his love or do enough good works to get into heaven, but that we can be saved through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And there aren't many churches in our city that are preaching that message, so thank you for helping us to fix our church building so we can continue to grow and have a place to worship together and to learn from God's word.
As we say in Spanish, muchas gracias.
Gracias.
We do support this family through our faith promise and missions giving, so we're excited to see what the Lord's doing there in the Dominican Republic, which reminds me again that there's a trip scheduled in September. If you were interested in going to that trip, I don't know that we're going to their particular area, but Gary and Allie Hill have some things that we will be doing with their ministry as well, so let us know. This is Memorial Day, and Memorial Day weekend, and we want to just say a word and then recognize some folks this morning. Memorial Day is an American holiday. It's observed on the last Monday of May, and honoring the men and women who have given their lives while serving in the military. The Civil War, which ended in 1865, claimed the lives of more soldiers in that conflict in the U.S. history, and really required an establishment of military cemeteries. Originally known as Decoration Day, it originated in the years followed following the Civil War, and really just became an official holiday in 1971. But if you have served in the military or you are presently serving in the military, we would love to just say thank you. If you could stand with right now, we would love to just recognize you. I think a lot of times we get caught up in the festivities of the barbecues and the parades and stuff like that, but we don't want to forget the lives that have been lost defending our country. And while we're talking about our country, you may have followed this on Facebook or seen some updates, but this morning in Sunday school, we were talking to Vitaly Sokol, and Vitaly just finished his quest to become a U.S. citizen last week. Yeah. Of course, Vitaly and Anne and their family are missionaries in Ukraine, and they've got their tickets now, I think you said, the 20th of next month, so we'll be praying for them as they're preparing to go back to that area. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to dismiss our kids now to summer choirs. I'll be back there in a few minutes to see you, but looking forward to that starting today. In His time.
In His time.
My name is Mike Swanson. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace. I have the privilege of introducing our speaker this morning. Gary Googe grew up in a missionary family in the West Indies. He has a brother and three natural sisters, and then a plethora of adopted brothers and sisters that his father and mother, Freeman and Martha Googe, adopted while they were ministering there. He has served along with his wife Janet and their children in French Guiana, South America. They were at the home office for their mission board for a couple of years, and then they have after that served for another lengthy period of time in the southern part of France. Some of you will know Gary from him having been here on furlough and speaking to others of you. You will not have met him before. And then there are still others of you that will know him from when he was on staff here as one of our first youth pastors, if not our first. And he's got at least one of his former youth from his youth group that is here with us this morning as well. They wheeled her in a wheelchair and... No, not at all. But Gary has been around for a while, so some of you know him in from different times and different places. But to others of you, he will be new. Now they have just recently moved back to the States. They're in a process of transitioning into retirement. A number of you were out at the airport when we were able to welcome them back. Similarly, as they went out over three decades ago to be missionaries, some of you were there for that as well. So very encouraged to have them back. He is my mother-in-law's second favorite son-in-law, and just a great guy. With the video problems this morning, Gary is going to be off to the left a little bit preaching. And many of you know that Gary has often been off to the left a little bit. But we're excited to have him speak to us this morning. Looking forward to him both today and next week. Gary, please come.
I'll just take Fred's stand, maybe. I'm going to put this one up. Okay. Thank you so much, Mike. It's good to be back with you. Yeah, that doesn't matter. We decided to make a bit of a change. I should have known this morning that things were going to go a bit haywire. I couldn't get my tablet to work, which I would preach from normally, and then I found out that the screen that I was going to use to see what I was projecting to you would also be visible to me without having to turn sideways. I may be doing a bit of that in front of you. Don't be shocked by that. Thank you for putting me on the left side of the podium as well. We've appreciate that you, Mike, has taken the time to find people to come in and speak. We've enjoyed that, and they have been good speakers up until today, of course. I probably should not tell you that I'm speaking again next Sunday because I want you to come back. And we have been listening. We, in France, really enjoyed the series Encounters with Christ. I think that was it. And a variety of different speakers. And then all along, just really enjoyed it. Really was not here last Sunday. We had a family activity, but thoroughly enjoyed Hunter's message. If you have not heard that, you need to go back and listen. I've listened to it twice, actually. I enjoyed it so much. And I may make some references to that because it was very appropriate for the subject that I'm speaking on today, and Hunter and I have never met. I couldn't tell the difference between him and Adam's, house cat. I've never met him, but our messages kind of meshed, and I think the Lord was working that out. So thank you again for this occasion, and as Mike said, we're pretty much very comfortable here, being back at Grace, our sending church. We consider it to be our home church. I told Mike I'll need a... he handed me the clicker. We're not sure if it works even. It does work. I want to... Kelly, why are you still here? The kids were dismissed to the choir. So the clicker does work. Very good. We want to just say thank you so much for those of you. We got off the plane. It was 11:30 at night when we arrived, later than what had been on our tickets, and Janet and I were walking that, I don't know if they called it a footway or what, headed towards this, we saw this crowd at the end, at the exit of the terminals there at Chattanooga, and we thought, well, someone has come back. My mind went military because we've all seen so many on television, so many military welcomes, and actually, I once said to Janet with jealousy, you go back to the States, if you're military wearing a uniform, there'll be a bunch of people applauding and blah, 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 blah. But I said, if you come off the field after 30 years of service, missions, no one's going to be there. I apologize. As we got closer and began to recognize people, we thought, Janet, I think they're here for us. So thank you so much to all of you, those that couldn't come, those that would. I had there's a little anecdote, a little story that goes with this that I have to share. I would never divulge the name of this individual, but his wife, Mary, told me that he was already in pajamas and ready for bed. And she says, what? You're not going back to welcome Gary from France? And so he got dressed and came out, and I thought, that is dedication, that is love. And we really, really appreciated that. For our message, and you've seen this in the bulletin, we will proceed. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that this word is at the same time edifying, exhorting, encouraging. And that's what we ask from you, that each one of us here, each one representing different needs, obviously, would glean from these promises, from these truths, things that would draw us closer to you, things that would allow us to know you better as well, Lord. And thank you for this opportunity. And all this we pray for your glory. Amen. The title of the message today is Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, or How to Manage the Changing Seasons of Life. So I was a bit disappointed with Fred. I had asked him if we could please sing the B.J. Thomas song together. And I know some of you, at least those of you who have, are as old as I am, would know it. You know, raindrops keep falling on my head, just like the guy whose feet is too long for his bed. Nothing seems to fit. Well, and these raindrops, I didn't miss some talking to the sun. I told him how I didn't like how well he gets, something like that. And the point is, raindrops are not always falling on our heads, are they? But we get that in our ideas and our minds sometimes. And I want to talk about the changing seasons of life, the changing seasons of your life, the changing seasons of my life. Now, I know about raindrops. Mike mentioned that we were for 11 years in French Guiana, which is next to Venezuela, next to Suriname, and between Suriname and Brazil. So down where Venezuela is, our season and all that. And, you know, our annual average rainfall was just a little over 9 feet of water. We had 7 months of a rainy season, but we had 5 months dry. So the raindrops weren't always falling on your head. You just felt like it sometimes. So there you have it. And so I want to use two other images, two other pictures, if you allow me. They're personal, but it has to do, it's kind of like what Hunter said last week. Hunter spoke to us. I may be able to stand up, actually. This is funny. I got up this morning and says, Janet, I am dizzy. This is strange. I don't get up dizzy. And I said, I'm going to take my blood pressure. And it is way too high for me. I'm one of those low guys. Now I am living with my mother-in-law. So there could be a valid explanation for all of this. But I said, might you give me the stool just in case? I saw Kelly use it when he wasn't feeling great, great, great. So I'm not feeling great, 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 but I felt like standing up. So if I feel like sitting down, I'll sit down. I'm sure it's okay with you guys. But anyway, and part of it, I told you, I think you know what that blood pressure thing is? I think it's this transition. I mean, I'm 65. We're leaving field. We're talking retirement. We're talking moving back to the American culture from which we've been gone from a long time. We're talking about moving in with my mother-in-law. As you well know, one of the reasons many of you know Mrs. Collins from this church, of course, and suffering from Alzheimer's. And the time came when the three children decided that someone needs to be living close by and, if possible, there with her. So that's part of our reasons for coming back. And so I've got all this changing, and I found out that some of our transitions aren't fun at all. And I want to give you two shots, and just for lots of fun, you might try to recognize yourself. This photo comes back from 1984, August 1984. That was Grace Baptist Church sending us off to language school in France in August of 1984. And so that was the beginning of the transition. I want to show you another slide. You probably recognize a good many of those people. And some of you are sitting there or were in those shots, but a different form. And the next picture was taken this year, 2019, in France. This is our church in France sending us off to come back here. They threw this surprise birthday party. We're all in blue, white, red. Now, French after is bleu, blanc, rouge. So we're in blue, white, red, which are the colors of the French flag. It's just not red, white, and blue. It's just the opposite. Don't even get there. And I said, Janet, the only thing I really notice about these two slides, you go back and forth. In both occasions, we're leaving. In both slides, people are just looking as happy as they can be. What? We're leaving. Everyone's smiling. Got this big yay. It's like, yay, he's gone. But seriously, just to illustrate to you a bit of the translation. So now let us look in the Word. Now, you know, most of us, and I would almost say all of us, know Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Even Simon and Garfunkel know it. You know, they wrote a song all about it. So you know these, but I want to take a little more time and go through there. It's from Solomon. And it's in chapter 3. He started in chapter 1. And, you know, I think the first word's like futility. You know, it's really, oof. It's not a real happy book. But it's one of our, as a couple, Janet and I, one of our favorite books of the Bible, of the Old Testament, simply because he's so transparent. You know, Solomon doesn't make up stories to look pretty and feel good about. He just tells things as they are. So we're going to go through these these time for everything. Now, I'm going to say seasons of life because that word can be translated seasons. It is translated in other parts of the Old Testament as seasons. It's a valid translation. Paul speaks of seasons of our lives. And I want to go through it slowly because what you will find out, of course, these seasons as Solomon is going to present them to us are opposites, extreme opposites. And sometimes he starts with the good season. Sometimes he starts with the bad season. In fact, what I appreciate, I hesitate to use good and bad because Solomon gives no moral value. There's no moral value attached. Let us say favorable seasons and less favorable seasons rather than saying good and bad. That will help us out. Now, what is fascinating about this passage in these extremes, and the list is not exhaustive. The list is not complete. You will see that as we go through. But they are seasons that we all kind of go through at some point in our life. But what happens is we often read this quickly. You know what I'm saying? There's a time for this, a time for that. And no, you never get a chance to hesitate over one of these statements and reflect personally. So I'm going to invite you to do that. I mean, I might make a comment about it, but we're going to go through. I'm going to project each one of them for you. You can also find them in your Bible, of course, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Not sure that there's any purpose in the order that Solomon puts them out there other than the first one, time to be born. kind of makes sense to put that first. A time to be born and a time to die. A season to be born and a season to die. And could not be more flagrant than what happened yesterday. I know that yesterday Mrs. Hurlbut was buried by her family. The time to die. I also know that yesterday I got a phone call from my granddaughter. Some of you may know Lucy Fry. If you don't, you should meet her. She's the daughter of our daughter and son-in-law, Lauren and Drew. And Lucy calls us about the same time as the funeral was going on. We weren't there. Jen and I were together, however. And she wants to meet us at Chick-fil-A. Now, I don't think her mother had any idea she had called us. She just took the phone and called us. And what I found out when we did eventually meet at Chick-fil-A with Lucy and her mother, our daughter Lauren, that Lauren was coming from a baby shower. Is that correct? So on the same day, you have a funeral and a baby shower. Couldn't be more true. And I hope while I've been speaking, you've fixed yourself somewhere in that sentence. You've had a recall. Solomon is so cold in how he does this. This is about the coldest passage of Scripture in the Bible. A time to be born, a time to die. Boom, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. He's going, oh, chill. Mr. Solomon, we need to go through this. So that's what we're doing slowly. Thank you for giving me the time to do this. A time to plant, a time to uproot is the second one. Since we've been back here, Janet said, I want to plant a garden. I said, okay, what does that mean? Well, you need to build a planter. So I built a 4x4 planter. Not 4x4 inches. That would have suited me fine. A 4-foot by 4-foot. And so we've got tomatoes and we've got squash and I think we've got some bell peppers and we've got some plants in there that aren't going to do too well if they don't start doing better. I mean, I'm about to uproot them. You know, you go out there faithfully and water. And if you read chapter 2 of this book, Ecclesiastes, Solomon has said, I acquired fields and I acquired all the fruit trees of the world. So I think he's really talking about what he experienced as this amateur gardener to sometimes you just pull it up because it's not producing. There's a time for that. Now this is allegorical. Of course, we're not talking just strictly plants, but when things aren't producing, that's what happens. And we've all had those experiences either personally or observed them. A time to kill and a time to heal. Please do not take these as biblical mandates, as commands. They are not commands. I don't know if Aaron's in here anywhere. Yeah, Aaron's way over there. We had this discussion. I was in his Sunday school class. That's an experience. And I found out that he has a license to kill geese. Am I getting this right? No.
Goose egg.
Goose eggs. Okay, goose eggs. So he shared with us a bit of that experience.
Unincubated goose eggs.
The point is, and I think this, because again, if you read chapter 2 of this book, Solomon is not talking about killing people. It also said he acquired cattle and herds. It kind of makes you think, you like those old westerns, what did they do with the crippled horse? They shoot him. You see, well, he broke his leg, boom. that's not what exactly Solomon, but it's that kind of thing. There's a time when, you cannot, this is not productive of the animal and that kind of thing, and a time to heal, of course, when you can actually do something. A time to tear down and a time to build. I was talking to Janet the other day. I said, did that paint shed that your dad so carefully put together when he was rebuilding it in 1944, I think we're going to take it down because it's rotten now. It doesn't really serve any purpose. There was a time to build it. And here, 20-something years later, is probably the time to tear it down. And he just goes on. But I'm allowing you, you've probably built, you've torn down, a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. I have those are not always fun memories, are they? I had an incredible experience this summer. I use this passage now when I preach funerals, specifically to lost people. And this summer in June, married this young couple in France, of course, and they had a child. She was Aina, which means life in Malgash. Malgash is the adjective you use for Madagascar. Okay? It really is not just a Disney film. It's a place. It's an island, Madagascar. And so I married this young couple, beautiful wedding, a great time. And then 5 months later did the funeral of that one-year-old daughter. Just absolutely the hardest thing I have ever done in my life. And that's a whole other story I'll share with you. Did it in the Basilica, which was built in between the 14th and the 16th century in our city. Just an incredible, but that was, I had been in that 5 month period with that young couple, I had been at their time to dance and their time to mourn. And for all of us here, just let that sink into you. You've been there. We're going to have to rush along here, and I shall go quicker so we finish. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. I really don't know what that means. But there are times when you do these two different things. I've not done a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. We arrived on a Wednesday night. On Thursday morning, this is kind of our deal when we come back to the States, go to Cracker Barrel. So we go into Cracker Barrel for breakfast, and here is someone you wouldn't know, Steve Wingate, sitting with another, these are guys I went to school with, so there's Steve, and over here is Keith Kettering, which I hadn't seen in a while. I helped Keith move to Chattanooga several years ago, but Keith, and he gets up to shake my hand, I walk up and I kiss him on both cheeks. I hadn't even been out of France barely 24 hours, because that's what I would have done with a close friend in France. You would walk up and just brush the cheeks. And Keith was kind of looking at me. And that came to mind. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. Once again, a time to keep and a time to throw away. My most recent experience with that, and I will say just a word of advertisement right now. Theoretically, our container will arrive this week. We know not yet exactly the day nor the time. It's like the return of Christ, That container's coming. We just don't know when. But we'll need some help. But I want to talk about the container because we were packing this thing for a while leading up to it. And I found out that this concept of keeping and throwing away isn't the same for a husband and wife. I was ready to start throwing things away, and Janet said, no, we're keeping that. No, we're keeping that. And we did not have a whole lot of agreement on what to keep and what to throw away, but there's a time for that, and a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak. This is my time to speak, so I'm doing that. Back in February, I have a family in our church. The father and I have been friends and in the same growing, we call them growth groups, kind of a mentoring situation. So he was going to go to Aix-en-Provence, and he said, will you come with me? Their daughter is about to go to college, so she was going to go to the faculty and visit the faculty. And so it's about a 30-minute drive there and a 30-minute drive. So all the way there, her name is Noemi, and all the way there I talk to Noemi, says, how's this, what do you want to do, blah, blah, blah. So she visits the faculty. I go with her dad to where he was interviewing for a job. We come back, pick her up, and we drive back to 30 minutes. And I come, well, what did you think? And we drove into our parking area at where our apartment was, and I says, well, Noemi, what do you think about today? Now, she's the one that visited, she says, without even blinking an eye, what I discovered today is that you talk a lot. That was her comment. You talk a lot. And I've been known for it. But there's a time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate. Once again, these aren't mandates. This is just what happens. And a time for war. And obviously, on Memorial Day, we can appreciate this perhaps better. A time for peace. Desiring by far the time for peace, even though the time for war is there. Isn't that true? Who would not prefer to have peace? So there we are. He has spit. That's it. That's the end of them. Unless you've got another one in your Bible I missed. I don't think so. But you can add. You know, there's a time to enroll in school, and we had to graduate. There's a time to graduate. I was out watering our little garden this past week on Friday night about 9 o'clock, and I heard this enormous tumult, or whatever you say it in English. Sometimes I can't remember the pronunciation. And it was just kids screaming, and I asked Mike later, because Grace had his graduation, right, at the Methodist church just a quarter mile away, and it covered the whole neighborhood. So I didn't call the police because I thought, that's Grace, that would look bad. But it was a time to graduate. When we think of the military, there's a time to enlist, and there's a time to be discharged. Some of these college students, there's a time to sign that letter on the college loan, and there's a time to repay it. So the list is not exhaustive. These extremes are there, and they're in our lives, but these are seasons that we go through. Some are agreeable and pleasant, and so others not so pleasant, but we didn't get a choice, and he spits them out there, and there they are. I just want to pull some conclusions. Now, I know you take notes. Some people do. Can I say something about taking notes? I really like it when you write your ideas from what I said. You don't have to write down what I say. Write what comes across you. And what helped us at our church in France, we have small groups like you do here. And our small group, one of the small groups I'm a member of, said, what are we going to do next year? And the guy said, well, every Tuesday night, I'd like for us to get together and we will discuss the message from Sunday. And I thought, this is not going to fly. But it has been magnificent. Every Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, they will sit down and they'll preach. They'll discuss the message that was preached today. So, when I was preaching in France, there'd be 8 or 9 people taking notes. The ones who were members of the group, obviously, they wanted to be sure they knew what to talk about. So, but just let me throw out some ideas about what we know and what we learn, how we react to seasons. So this is pretty much common to all of us. And these are my ideas. You write what you want to. Maybe this will birth something in you. We don't choose the seasons. I think, in fact, we skipped spring this year. Here, anyway, it's just, I don't know where spring went. This is, the 26th, yesterday was the 25th, and I think they had record temperatures. We don't choose the season. This is going to be important later. Seasons, this is important, seasons change. They pass. They're not permanent. Now, the impact might very well be. I'm going to address situations that are difficult. I have found that there are global warmings in the seasons of life, things that are out of the ordinary. Some seasons last way too long. Some seasons get skipped. And some of you might be stuck in one that's not easy to go through. That happens too. But I'm speaking in a normal sense. Seasons are cyclical. They will come back. We have four here. Three this year, but normally four. When we were in French Guiana, there were just two. Rainy season, dry season. I suppose we only had between five and eight degrees of temperature change in the whole year. All we did have, though, was a change in wet and change in dry. And but it was cyclical. And the seasons, all of what he said, a time to die, a time to be born, we're going to go through that. There's a time to bury, there's a time to ask a farmer, the time to plant, the time to uproot. It's just, they're going to go around. You've been through one, it's probably going to come back. This is really important to note. We tend to develop affinities, or not, for different seasons. Janet's a fall person. I'm a summer person. And I'm talking about the real seasons. But those seasons in life, and I think Hunter said this, if you will recall what he said last week. let me get this right. I think he was talking about the American dream, that he was more attached to American culture, the American dream, than to the kingdom of God, because that is good and comfortable. And the seasons we tend to like are the ones that make us feel comfortable. It's not unusual that I like summer. I grew up in the West Indies. I grew up on an island where it was summer all year long. That was what was in my formative years. But if we're not careful, we develop these affinities. And that begins to take over our lives. The seasons we want to see. And we have a tendency to want to remain in that season we like. Like I said yesterday, I was driving up to Decatur, Tennessee. My son's on vacation with his wife, and they have animals. They have 2,000 or 3,000 chickens. No, really, I think it's only about 20, but it seems like that many. And someone needs to go by, make sure they've got food. And then he's got two dogs. He's got a couple of ducks and this and that. And so I went up, and just an illustration of how we really work hard to change seasons. And Solomon knew this too. If you read chapter 2, what did he say? I tried pleasure. I tried possessions. I tried power. He became attached to these seasons and worked so hard to make it work, and was always disappointed. It never worked out. And the question one should ask, in what season of life am I, what situation in my life am I really working hard to maintain? I got into the car and headed up to Decatur, and it said 92 on the temperature gauge. What did I do? Turned on the air conditioner. Why? Because I wanted to change the season. We do that in our lives. We work really hard. I don't like this. Well, I'm going to change this to something else that suits me. It will not work. We live in subjection to the seasons of life. You don't choose them. You don't determine them. They are coming your way. You can't stay in them, and you can't change them. Now, that sounds all very Solomon. Futility of futility. All is futility, or vanity of vanities, however you want to do it. And now he's going to kick in and give us the solution. I just want to share this, and we're going to end. And allow me to lead the last of this passage, because it's very important to us. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden that God has laid on the human race. There are going to be four sentences that are key for us. Just grab each one and hang on to it. He has made everything beautiful or appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for people to do than to be happy and to do good where they live, that each of them may eat, drink, and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. The whole sentence should be in red, but that's the third one. And then the final one, nothing can be added to it, nothing can be added, but God does it so people will fear him or stand in awe of him or go after him, pursue him. So four things off of these four sentences that change this whole season thing for us. And here's what it is. God's desire and purpose revealed through our experience of the seasons of life is that we come to him in faith. Remember, the first sentence was, He has made all things beautiful or appropriate in its time. He did that. First point, pardon me, God is sovereign over the seasons. I think that came out of Hunter's message as well last week. God is sovereign over these seasons. We feel, when you read through what Solomon said earlier, you feel like that little bitty ball in the pinball machine, don't you? Boom, 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 boom. And everything's just out of control and hazard. And Solomon says, boom, wait a minute. No, God makes all things appropriate or all things beautiful in his time. We don't have the time to develop all that, but you follow me. Then the next thing, he says he has placed eternity in the heart of humanity. We are not to be frustrated, not to fear, or to become attached to the seasons. Now, that is the one sentence in that passage that is so difficult to translate. And I don't know, is David Prairie in here? He may not be in here. He has on his wall two awards for, where is he? Raise your hand, David. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Two awards for the Hebrew student. And yeah, whatever. And I thought, boy, that's not the plaque I'd put on my wall. But hey, no, I'm just kidding. And so you get all kinds of, you know what? Ecclesiastes is such a discussed book. I didn't look at one commentary. I typed in his commentaries and it says there were 1,000,000 on Ecclesiastes 3, there were 1,700,000+. I says, no, thank you, slip. I'm just going to go with what I got. We're just going to go with what we got because that's it. But regardless of how this should be interpreted, the idea is still eternity because he's all these seasons, and then God, the eternal God, is there. He doesn't want us to be distracted by the seasons. Doesn't want us to be controlled by the seasons. Doesn't want us to fear the seasons. Because there's a bigger season. This is what I use when I preach to old people on their funerals. You know the season of mourning. You know the season of weeping because you're there. But there's a season that trumps that season. It's the eternal season. And that's the one you need to deal with. Have I put my faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life? And that trumps all the other seasons. Easy to say, harder to times to remember at times. And finally, I know, third, he says, and everything God does will remain. He is deserving of your trust and of your faith. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. Now, I've said I'm 65 years old. And so that's quite a bit of experiences, and I can honestly say to you that though it hasn't always, ministry and cross-culturally hasn't always been easy, God has always been faithful. I can't cite at any time when God just dropped the ball. I'm not saying it didn't feel to me like that. I come back to Hunter's message. It might feel that way sometimes, but he didn't. That's third, and the last one, he loves us. He did all this so we would fear him. I love the translation. We would stand in awe of him. Now you say, if you're lost and you're not yet standing in awe of him, you're not yet fearing him, what this actually is an invitation to a relationship. God wants a relationship with you. And the only relationship you can have with him is obviously the one of coming to him in reverence and fear. Not the fear of what's he going to do to me, but the fear of he's such a great big God and he loves me. He loves all of us. And specifically us this morning who have had this lifelong walk with him up to this point, he's done everything in love toward us. And I think, once again, Hunter said that so clearly, I won't go into any detail. I'm finished. No more slides. I don't know where you are today and what season you are in, where you find yourself, and I don't know what season you'll be in tomorrow. Tomorrow might actually begin a season for some of us that we've never been in, or it's another one coming around. But he is sovereign. He's given us the possibility of sharing his eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Eternity, the eternal season trumps all other seasons. He's trustworthy and faithful. All he does and says will be done, and he loves us. Father, we thank you for these promises. I have spoken somewhat in ignorance because I don't know all the situations represented here. I know some are difficult, and I know some are happy. And all in between those two extremes, there's a whole graduation of different seasons. And I just know this. You've proven yourself. And what could be a greater proof than you manifesting your love towards us in the death and resurrection of your Son on our behalf? Lord, let us not forget the season of eternity, eternal life. I would pray also, Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you, this would be the time that your Spirit would move their hearts to come to you. And they would abandon all their efforts to manipulate and struggle and fight to get a season that pleases them and enter into the season of eternal life. You would in that way bless their soul, their spirit, and their body. Pray all this for your glory. Amen.
Thanks, Gary. Just so with your heads bow, I contacted Gary last week, and he came in and sat across from my desk, and across from me, across my desk, and just kind of talked through the sermon. And the song we're about to sing was the first song that came to my mind, not knowing all the details of the sermon, but the second point, just don't become frustrated or fear the season that you're in or the season that's ahead. We can't control it. God is in control. And I think of this first line, there's peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well because Jesus has overcome the grave. We look forward. We live our life in light of eternity. Don't worry about the season you're in because God has a good plan, right? Would you stand with me as we sing together? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the season that we're in, the seasons that we've learned from, and the seasons that we're going to experience and learn from because of what you have to teach us and because of how you will guide us and shepherd us through them. We love you this morning, Lord.
There's a peace I've come to know, and though my heart and flesh may fail, and there's an anchor for my soul, I can say it is well, and Jesus has overcome, and the grave is whole. Risen from the dead.
Love you guys. I hope you have a great weekend. Remember, no services here tonight. Hope you enjoy. And Kelly has something to say. You can be seated just for a minute. Sorry, Kelly. Just got caught up here. You can do this.
We were singing, "I Will Rise, So I Rose." It's my time to speak, according to Gary. So anyway, Gary, thank you so much for that. And I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to next week, and I do plan to be here, Lord willing, if it's my time to be here. Yes. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says that God adds and places members in the body as he so designs. And we believe in God's sovereign design in adding folks to be members of this body because we need their gifts and they need our gifts. That's by God's design. We were created as a body to be independent. So, Grant Dix, would you come join me up here? Grant is no stranger to us, and he has come this morning desiring to enter into a covenant relationship with this local body. Just so you know, he's also in the process of joining with ABWE Mission Board, and there is a specific calling that continues to get clearer and clearer, and you're going to be hearing about that. But this morning, he's gone through the process laid out in our bylaws. He's given a clear testimony of his faith in Christ, his understanding of the gospel. He's been through the new members class over a year. We just got the pieces in there. So anyway, if you are a member of this church and you would affirm Grant as a member of this local church, would you stand and say amen? I just want to see if you were coordinated enough to do that. So that's all right. So, Grant, we're excited to have you with us. Grant's going to stand down front here. If you'd come and just kind of love on him and welcome him, and I'll pray us out of here. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the truth, the unchanging truth of your word. Lord, every one of us is in a season. Every one of us is in a season. Every one of us can connect with the truths. Thank you for our brother. Thank you for the message that you have marinated his life and his heart in, and thank you that now we're going to process that together. Lord, let us go out looking for opportunities to make much of you and delight in the beauty and the creation that you have made for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.